I'll do my best to get the project going. Title: Variety Resistance Evaluations of Race 4 in California Cotton. And you can see the long list of cooperators here, people involved in the, actively involved in this project. We also want to thank a number of growers and cooperators, National Cotton Council, Cotton Incorporated, CPCSD Grower Board, and the California Cotton Growers Association, and some of the seed companies for their assistance in working with us on this. The question is how, and what we'd like to talk a little bit about today is how we deal with the Race 4 issue in California. And our main, there's a number of efforts, certainly containment is a big issue, but also identifying varietal resistance and tolerance as something that we can work on in the long run to help reduce the incidence of this disease over a longer period of time. And this, I think, follows somewhat consistently with what some of our Australian counterparts have experienced and the issues that they've dealt with. They've identified varietal resistance also as a, or tolerance as a very important issue in combating this this very difficult and very problematic disease. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the FOV Race 4 screening trials that were conducted over a five-year period. There were some Fresno County sites. We've got a number of fields there, but within those fields, we've had a range of from 50 to 200 entries, 3 to 4 reps, in 15 to 25 foot plots planted at various timings. All sites in were clay loam soils, and that's one of the things that does distinguish this race from some of the I know the comment based on the comments for the nematodes there. Many of these soils do not have any nematode populations at all, so this is one of the things that distinguishes it from the previous experience that we've had with Fusarium. Bob, did you want to take over from here? I think you're probably the better person here.
I really appreciate it, Dan.
So we're on Kern County right now.
Well, I really appreciate it, Dan. I guess there must be something in the computer program that still allows authors to be in different sessions on back-to-back talk. So. Anyway, thanks for stepping in. This has, it's sort of indicative of this trial. It's been very much one where we need a lot of cooperation from quite a few different people to pull these things off, including our grower cooperators. Again, we've had multiple field sites as well as use of a greenhouse to try to do some of these type of screenings. And we're not going to present all of the data, but we'll try to cover, you know, a fair number of them. But again, it's in enough locations that we do have some concerns and some growers that are willing to cooperate with us on this. What we've generally focused on is looking at survival in a range of varietal screenings. I'm only basically talking about commercial and company experimentals here. Mauricio Ulloa, which Dan may have mentioned, also has a lot of USDA ARS entries that he would talk about separately. We look at plant height and node counts as an indicator of stunting and vigor, foliar damage ratings, and root vascular stain ratings. And what I'm going to talk about, these are always a fairly big field operation. I'm going to talk about just the survival percentages and the root vascular staining. Vascular staining, in our observations, is a little bit different than what we see with verticillium wilt. It's more easily seen in the lower stem and the upper tap root. There are quite a few instances until you get fairly advanced in the damage where we don't even see anything if you do above ground stem cuts. And that's quite different than our experience in verticillium. Just as an indication of how severe what we can see, there's one I'll talk about a little bit later, Phytogen 800 Race 4 FOV that we've classified as highly tolerant, you can see on the left, and then the ones where there's almost no plants left there right next to it is a susceptible Pima where we had nearly 100% kill within about 4 to 5 weeks after planting. There's been a lot of variation in trying to do these as screenings, and I think part of it is as a non-pathologist myself, I'll say that, you know, part of it is that I think the inoculum levels are changing, as you grow either more susceptible or more resistant varieties in some of these fields that we get access to. We, like the Australians, Stephen Allen has mentioned before, planting date responses at later planting dates under better conditions tend to see not as much damage, and we've certainly seen that in some of the field screenings that we've done. Early on, we saw much more damage consistently in susceptible Pima varieties, but again, starting a number of years ago and continuing, we've definitely seen evidence that field injury to Acalas and Uplands can be fairly significant, again, with repeated plantings of susceptible varieties. Overall situation, again, we've seen fewer fields identified in recent years. Part of this is because of large acreage losses in California, but I think also to some success in grower recognition of symptoms and identification of more resistant varieties to plant. So I'll just go into a summary of the numbers. I'm not going to get into any specific varieties. I just kind of want to give you a little bit of a flavor for what kind of rates of losses we've seen. This is a first planting date. These are all Acala and Upland entries. And this is the whole next series I'll talk about is just survival percentage, usually within 4 to 7 weeks after planting. And this is a first planting date early under more challenging conditions. And you could see we had a range, but a fairly significant stand losses ranging from about 35 to 75% survival or so. In a second planting date at the same location, you could see some indication with the same entries of some significantly better survival percentages. It doesn't mean they're not infected, but again, better survival percentage with second planting date under better conditions. This is a wide range of materials across quite a few different seed company experimentals. Again, all in Uplands and Acalas, commercials in a Fresno County location. This was, I would classify as sort of a moderate inoculum density location in terms of damage. This is vascular stain index ratings. Okay, we're moving from stand loss percentages to vascular stain ratings. And again, this is the planting date study that I mentioned earlier. And again, you can see that even though we showed a lot better planting survival percentage in the second planting date shown in gray, this is the root staining index showing fusarium injury or levels or an index of severity, and again a very broad infection across a wide range of plant materials. Again, stand loss in Fresno County at a location that I would describe as a relatively light infestation, and here is a Kern County location, which is one of our longer term heavier ones. Again, we can have losses that are up in the 50% survival range and less. 2008, again across a very wide range of materials at a Fresno County location that again is one of our multi-year sites. Again, even in these upland entries, we're seeing some fairly significant stand losses, again with repeated application or repeated growth of cotton in a location where the inoculum levels have built up. Root staining index, again looking across a range of materials, I just wanted to point out mostly that we do have a few of them that show numbers less than one for an index rating, but again, fairly broadly susceptible. It's been very unusual in the uplands and Acalas to find something that doesn't get infected in the sites that we've been using for field tests. Again, similar type of information for 2007 at a Fresno location, here at a Kern County location, again, one of our long-term multi-year study locations. And 2008 information, again, at a long-term study location. So again, we see some commercial materials that look at Delta Pine 444BR or some of the ones over there on the right. I've just shown sort of the high and low entries from some of the seed company experimentals. So there definitely is some material to work with. We're providing this information to the seed companies, but again, it's you know, somewhat of concern, certainly, that there's this broad type of infection levels. Okay, I want to switch gears and just cover a few things on Pima to wrap it up here. This is survival percentages, and again, we're shifting from Acala to starting to also present some Pima information. The Acalas are on the left, again, some of the widely grown materials, Phygon 72, Daytona, a few other non-Acala uplands, and then when you get to Phytogen 800, in the center of the graph. That's the first of the Pimas, and all the ones to the right of that are Pima entries. And you can see the Phytogen 800, which we identified as one of the more resistant Pimas in quite a few different test locations, performed very well in this particular site in Kern County, again, a multi-year test site. Where we had pretty good inoculum levels. But then when you get into some of the other materials that had been widely grown entries, Delta Pine 744, Phytogen 810R, Phytogen 830, which is in the testing program currently, again, many of these fairly severe losses. And again, we'll look at a couple of these type of things in terms of stand survival percentages with Pimas. Going across a range of commercials, there's some data shown in blue for Fresno County sites. And we have some of those materials also at a Kern County site. You can see, in general, the ones that are low in terms of survival percentages are low at both the locations in gray and blue. The ones that are high tended to be high at multiple sites. So, again, we do feel that there is some success in identifying some promising looking materials. There's some similar type of successes, I think, in Mauricio Ulloa's USDA entries. So again, I think we're seeing some progress and some improvement in some of the materials. You can see some of the Hazara entries on the right, some of the CPCSD or Bayer entries also in that group, and then entries from Phytogen, many of those with relatively high stand survival percentages. This is 2008 data from a Fresno County location, again, one of our multi-year test locations. And again, looking at these, a wide range of responses. A lot of these are focusing on new materials and ones that are in our current variety testing program for commercial production. And again, some are good performers, some are bad performers. I think it's part of the reason why, in our condition, we need to be looking at these materials. And this is root vascular staining numbers, again, for the same group. Very few of them are showing up as something that's down there near zero in terms of root staining index, but again, many of them are quite a bit better, the group shown on the right, than some of the poorer performing materials that are shown on the left. And in summary then, this is something that we've recognized and worked quite a bit on the last 5 years in California. We've got quite a few Pima varieties that are observed to be susceptible and damaged. Uplands clearly also are broadly susceptible to race 4, including a number of our commercial Acalas. The impact on the Acalas, generally, if you look at it in the field, is less severe than on susceptible Pimas, but still it's a potential problem since those are infected by FOV that levels that could cause damage and also produce inoculum. So we're planning to continue this screening as long as we have seed company participants that are willing to submit some materials to us. All right, thank you.
Time for questions?
Yes.
Are you having to continually find new fields to do your screening in? Or do you have to do some sort of a rotation with a susceptible variety to?
The question is whether we're having trouble finding susceptible fields, I guess grower fields. And the answer is we've been moving around quite a bit. I mean, this is something that, you know, it's sort of a, from an extension standpoint, you can consider a success when the growers are listening to you and they're rotating out of cotton and growing more resistant varieties. And so at the same time, we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot with getting long-term access to some of these sites. So we have kind of thought about that in terms of trying to maybe even set something up where we would flip the field and grow a susceptible variety just so we would sort of have something on a continuing basis. So we're gonna have to pursue that. It wasn't a problem a couple of years ago because we had so much cotton acreage. With less cotton acreage, more aggressive rotations into other crops, it is gonna be a problem.
We found in Texas that the growers that are really bad, that we go to target these tests, within 3 years we've gotta find another site because you rotate it with a variety that's taking care of the problem, and we literally can't find any disease hardly after a couple of years.
Right. Well, and I think Rebecca Bennett or someone could probably speak to it better than me, but I think this FOV, once it's established, it's going to be here for a long time.
The race 4 is a little bit different.
Yeah, so we have pretty good experience in California with verticillium, you know, not my experience, but many researchers over quite a few years with being able to very successfully knock vert populations down with small grain rotations, for instance. And I don't believe there's been a lot of success with crop rotations, or maybe just not enough work yet on that. Thank you.